Welcome to Elmo's World Podcast. And I have a guest here who I haven't talked to in a very long while. I think it was 2 years ago. His name is Jason Hannerfield, Feld, right? Did I say that correctly, man?
Hannerfeld. There's
awesome.
No I in there.
Yeah.
Although there should, because it should be all about me.
I like that. I like that. So how's life, Jason? Can you tell us, you know, what you've been doing so far?
Life is good, to a certain extent. I have some, problems going on in my life, which I have to tackle. I've certainly have to put my big boy pants on lately because, my wife lost her job and my job isn't enough to keep our house and stuff. So she's kind of in fear mode and I'm there to support her and tell her that don't worry about it. Everything's gonna be all right. You don't have to sell the dogs or kill them for food yet. You know, we can hold on to the house a little bit longer. But, you know, she was working for the same company for 12 years, and they've been kind of downsizing over the years.
Well, like, it's actually kind of funny, like, hearing all your problems. Like damn, if I thought you would, me coming from a third world country, I would think, like, damn, these Americans actually have problems too. Wait, not all Americans are rich.
America, man. It's, you know, look, don't get me wrong. I mean, America's great and all. I mean, I can go down the street to get my monster and you know, my chicken sandwich for a couple bucks, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Life is good as far as that's concerned. Yeah, my car's working, you know. Great. I got my guitar. It's,
awesome.
You know, I make chicken stuff, you know. But, like, yeah, sure. You know, to be honest with you, like, you can't have, you know, I'm at the, you know, I'm living life in the sense where, yes, there's going to be bad things that happen. But I don't think anything on that end is going to destroy me. Like, even with what I just said about, you know, my wife losing her job and we're worried about the house and the mortgage and all that stuff, we're kind of excited too, because to tell you the truth, I live in a state called New Jersey,
America.
And yeah, and to be honest with you,
the
door of New Jersey is not going to hit me in the ass on the way out if I decide to move somewhere else. And my wife, she's the breadwinner, really. I mean, you know, I make about $45,000-$50,000 a year working for a furniture installation company. I'm the dispatcher there. But my wife, I mean, she was like a regional manager for a facilities company where we do, commercial floor cleaning or anything that needs to be done in a big store like Apple or Verizon or any store, really. You know, we call the contractors out there to go out there and do the work.
Awesome.
But, you know, so she was probably making about 60, 65 a year, you know, but the, again, like we're like, yeah, sure. There's a dark cloud over us right now, but we're also, like I said, kind of excited because if we do sell a house, our house, we've actually earned some equity in that. So we'll have some money to jump around. And if she gets a really good job offer in another state, like I said, the door to New Jersey is not going to hit me in the ass on the way out.
All right, awesome, awesome. Well, I actually just realized that I noticed you have the New Jersey accent, you know what I mean?
Actually, my accent's from Brooklyn.
Ah, Brooklyn.
But it's New Jersey way, you might think that.
Yeah, Brooklyn, New York, right?
Yeah, Brooklyn, New York. That's pretty much where I was born and raised for the first 12 years of my life, and then we moved upstate New York, you know, but it's pretty much been in the tri-state area. I did spend about 15 years up in Vermont, and that was awesome, especially like musically. There was a lot of great musicians up there, played a lot of shows, was part of a bar band. I mean, we jammed so much. I've never been more stoned in my entire life. I mean,
awesome.
It was just great, fantastic. It's how I met my wife.
Yeah.
Playing shows, and she'd come to the shows because, you know, we were a good band and pretty happening and fun to jam with and stuff and hang out.
Awesome.
And we've been married. We've been together now for 20 years. We've been married for three.
Awesome. Can you judge my New York accent? Hey, I'm walking here.
Forget about it. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny, but
Yeah.
uh-oh, I'm being invaded by doggies.
Oh, it's okay. Awesome.
They probably have to go out, but the funny thing with New York accents, I like it's how you say your curse words. That's what matters, you
Exactly.
know?
Give us samples, hey? Well, like the
Mean,
OG New York curse words.
oh yeah, like perfect example. Be like, who the fuck do you think you are, bitch?
I
So you
that.
gotta put a little spit on the
Yeah.
bitch end of it. It's funny because when I go to other states, like I have friends down in
Yeah.
Florida, and
Yeah.
they hear me talk, they're like,
Yeah.
wow, dude, the you say bitch, you know.
Bitch. How you like him apples, right? Oh
Yeah.
wait, did actually I don't I think
Yeah.
I did that wrong, but yeah.
We're I don't know, we're I'm much more crass than that when I really get going, but I have to
Crazy.
have a good reason to be, to be that bad. I actually, now that I'm older, it's funny, like my wife, when I first met her, she hardly ever cursed. But
Really?
because it's such a common thing in my house,
Yeah. She learned to do it too from you. You're a bad
yeah,
influence, man.
she's a potty mouth now. I can't get her to stop.
Yeah, I mean, like, actually, I've been thinking, I'm atheist. I don't care about, whether cursing is bad or not. But, like, should I stop cursing? On my daily life, maybe, like, my life would be a lot better if people would just not hear me say those words,
Sure.
What do you think?
Well, I'm of course, when I'm, it depends on if I'm very comfortable with somebody, I might start using those types of words in passing because it's just very common for me to say. But I actually do have control over it. I can totally knock it down several notches and not curse at all. I mean, it's language. It's kind of funny. I mean, when I'm hanging out with my friends and we're just talking, everybody does it. And you don't even think about it then because you're with people that you're comfortable with. Usually when you're, if you're hanging out with somebody's parents or something like that, you want to be a little bit, you want to present yourself in a better light. I have a joke that light travels faster than sound. That's why people seem brighter until they open their mouths.
That's a really good saying. I actually remember that. So why did you leave New York and go to New Jersey? Was it because of work?
Well, I actually moved to New Jersey from Vermont, and the reason why I did that was because, again, my wife was working at a hospital,
Yeah.
and then she got laid off from there, and she came down to New Jersey because she had a friend here that she was having a hard time finding work up in Vermont, especially something
Yeah.
that was going to pay her halfway decent, and
Yeah.
so what happened was she actually moved down to New Jersey. And I had to make a big decision. I had to decide on whether I was going to stay in Vermont and maybe kick up a new relationship with somebody else,
Okay.
or were we going to stick it out? It was a part in our relationship where, it absolutely could have ended. And but I made an effort to, be with her even long distance. Every now and then I would, come and fly in from Vermont, and we'd visit, and it was great. The absence makes the heart grow fonder, so it's
Yeah.
kind of like, it worked out. So it, again, it's I came down here to New Jersey because she had work. She found a place for us to move to,
Yeah.
and that's what we did. So it was easy for me to get a job because, I can do I'm kind of a jack of all trades, man.
Yeah. All guys should be jack of all trades,
I mean, I can paint, I can do drywall, I'm although I'm a lot older now, but I'm also computer savvy.
Oh, awesome. Amazing.
So a lot of people, like I could you get me on a program on a computer, I could learn it in a snap, man. I'm a pretty smart guy. And, I taught myself how to do all of this stuff, playing music, playing video games. I mean, It's just life in general.
I
But
mean, like,
again,
you could have been probably like a scientist if you really, you know, did your work, you know, if you really wanted that life, but it's not the life for you, right?
Well, let's put it this way. I mean, as far as school went, my school kind of sucked.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, it was a dangerous place.
Interesting.
I mean, I remember one summer they set the damn school on fire 2 weeks before summer, you know, before summer hit, because they wanted to get out early.
Crazy.
You know, and they literally almost burnt the damn school down, the whole library almost. And it was just like, what the hell? You know, but look, that was high school in Brooklyn back in the 80s, you know?
Yeah.
But the, so I wound up dropping out of high school. I just went and I got my GED. So I don't even have a high school diploma. I got a general equivalency diploma, which is fine, because these days a high school diploma doesn't mean shit anyway. So, but you know, yeah, if you think I'm a dummy, step up. I'll show you.
Exactly. So actually, this has been a struggle for me, because I'm someone who I want to talk about what you think about love, right? Because I'm someone who doesn't believe there is such a thing as like true love or soulmates. I just think we're all evolved apes that like find mates, and sometimes, you know, we do sexy stuff for fun, right? It's part of life, you know.
Yeah, of course. Nature has designed us to fuck everything in sight.
Yeah. So, you know? What do you think about that? Like, for example, like let's talk about your love for your wife. What kind of love is it? Like, how would you justify it? Why is it only her?
Well, first of all, there's honesty, there's devotion,
mm-hmm.
there's absolutely, you know, empathy and trust. I mean, you know, it. Like, she trusts me with her life. I trust her with my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, no matter, you know, the fire and brimstone around us, we're together, you know, and this was something that I felt, you know, a long time ago. I would say maybe 5 to 7 years into the relationship. Now, both of us are divorcees. She was married
mm-hmm.
and got divorced. I was married and got divorced. Mm-hmm. And we had this running joke that, you know, we're never getting married because it's just bullshit, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
She actually asked me to marry her.
Interesting.
And I was like, yeah, I freaking won this one. You know, but of course I said yes. We were together for so long. And
mm-hmm.
It also, you know, sure, when it comes to the love in our relationship and us being together, you know, she is my best friend. I can tell her everything, you know, and she tells me everything.
Wow, I need a woman, you know, like that, man.
You know, but it's like there's also the part, you know, where as you get older, and you'll come to understand this as you get, you know, start creeping up to my age, another reason to be married to somebody that you've been with that long, even though some of the laws now they have here in the States called common law.
Yeah.
Where if you've been with somebody for a number of years in a relationship, you're pretty much considered married.
Interesting.
But when you actually get married, there's a lot of paperwork that gets, you know, taken care of. You know, you never have to worry about some insurance company saying, well, you know, oh, you're only going to get this amount of money through common law.
Legal, you know, benefits so, to getting married.
Yeah. So there are absolutely some benefits to getting married. But you know the biggest, I mean, if I had to give you a piece of advice about who you should be with, or if you find yourself being with somebody,
okay,
I mean, never settle. Don't ever, if you have a hint of something about a person that you've been with for a little while and there's something like you just don't like, you got to discuss it with them and see if you can get past that, because you know the last thing you want to do is be in a relationship that, when you know, and you see it all the time here.
Yeah.
I mean, here in the States, you get people, they run into problems and the first thing they do is they bolt.
Yeah,
you know, I'm out of here, bye bye. You know, you got to take care of yourself now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's not what marriage was about. It's not what marriage ever was about. Mm-hmm. You know, but it you know, when you say, you know, till death do us part, you know, in sickness and health, death do us part. You got to mean that, bro.
Interesting.
Or else it's everything else is just BS. It's just, oh, you know, I can split anytime that I want. Or if I'm not liking this, you know, how about if you're not liking something, communicate. You know, I can't tell you how many, you know, what you think there's like stuff about my wife that I can't stand. I can't stand the fact that she folds laundry better than me. I fucking can't stand it. I can't, like, I can do laundry all day long, but when it comes to folding laundry, I'm like this quadriplegic or something. I don't get it, man. I can play guitar like fantastic, but when it comes to folding clothes, I suck. It's like I'm like a T-Rex trying to fold laundry. It's crazy, man. Can't explain it. But, you know, yeah, that's a silly thing. It's, you know, but that's what I mean about in a relationship, you got to communicate these problems. If somebody's doing something that you, especially if it's something major and it's detrimental to the relationship, where you're really like, oh my God, you know, like, let's say they had a gambling habit and you just found out about it because, you know, there's a couple of, you know, couple of G's missing out of the bank account. Yeah, that's something that you got to take very, very seriously and try to get help with. But you shouldn't just bolt, especially if you tell this person that you love them. You know, when you say those words, I love you, honey, you know, it's only as deep as you're allowing it to be. You know, if it's just surface level BS to you, then that's all it will ever be.
Interesting, because, like, yeah, well, to be honest, like, I'm thinking I'll marry you maybe like 30, 35, 40. You know, I'm that's not good. In a rush. But also, like, I mean, my mindset is that, like, yeah, maybe I'll find a woman that I'll marry, but only it will only be because, like, I would want to start a family with her. You know, that's the only real reason I would get a wife.
Well, that would have been my question to you. Like, do you want children? Waiting till you're 35, that's a little late, to be honest with you.
Really? Why is that?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just my personal opinion. You don't have to agree to it. You don't have to accept it at all. But I think 35, it's a little late.
Why is it late? I don't understand.
Well, just because your children are going to be graduating out of high school in, you know, when they're 18. So if you wait till you're 35, you know, think about that. Your kid's going to be graduating high school when you're in your 50s. And not that that's a bad thing, but, you know, for me, it seems a little late. Like, I would, you know, if you should have your act together to start a family by 30, man. Give yourself the extra 5
years. You know what? 30. Okay, deal. deal. 30. I guess I have 6 more years to, like, just be a fucking manhole, you know, and sleep around.
Hey, I understand that phrase. I did that for a little while after my first, you know, after my marriage went to crap, my first one, and I moved up to Vermont, and, you know, being a musician, you know, it's you run into a lot of awesome ladies out there that, you know, just dying to pleasure you. And, you know, so, yeah, I was a bit of a man whore for a little while. And then it was so funny because I love telling this story. Like, when I met my wife, I thought she was the bitch, but I really did. I was like, look at this bitch. And then. And it was funny because she thought the same thing about me, like, who's this asshole, you know, hanging out, blah blah blah, about 2 years later after that, we were like madly crazy for each other.
Interesting.
And, you know, then we fell in love, and here we are 20 years later, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny. You know, life is kind of like that.
Well, I think actually, like, I feel that there is that possibility in me where I could fall in love with a woman, you know. There, like, but right now it's just not in my mind, you know. Like, I just want to enjoy my life, be who I am, discover myself first, because if I don't even know who I am before, like, I meet someone, I don't know if I could truly love them, you know, because I'll have to like focus on myself first, and you know what I mean? Yeah.
Hey, I mean, but the thing that I would say to you is, you know, find someone who augments who you are.
Augments, you know, like it's like supplements, yeah, exactly. Makes you better, you know, modifies.
So what? You haven't figured out who you are yet. You think? Do you think you're gonna figure that out magically? Like, oh, guess what? I turned, you know, 30 today. I know who I am. You know, it's come on, man. That's an everyday struggle for everyday people, man. But like what I said, I mean, the trick is to find somebody that you enjoy spending your time with that augments you. I mean, you know, with my wife, it was like she was, you know, she was coming out to the shows to watch us jam. And, you know, that was something that continued. Like, she was there. We would go out to the shows. And sometimes we enjoyed hanging out and listening to the other bands that, you know, either went on before us or came on after us. And, you know, but we also like, and it's funny because my wife is a closet, like, you know, like alternative rock metal chick, you know, but she's like, she carries herself very businesslike. But she's crazy, like into Saliva and Breaking Benjamin and Korn. I mean, it's just hilarious. Like, we get in the car and it's just like, honey, can you turn that down? It's a little loud.
That's interesting. I actually, like, you know what? I want that kind of relationship someday too, you know? Like, I really do.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But like I said, don't settle. Mm-hmm. Find someone who augments you and what mm-hmm. you do, and then in return, you know, you should offer the same to that person, like whoever she is, you know, you should be able to augment her experience and her life. And that's when love happens. That's when it's like, wow, man. Like when you're sitting there and you wake up in the morning and you're having your coffee and you're just like, wow, what am I going to do today? And then the next thing you know, you're calling that girl because you know that the minute you see her, shit's gonna happen and it's gonna be fun.
But here's the thing, right? In my country, like, we don't have divorce law yet, so we have to, like, you have to, like, right, do an annulment if you want to separate. So I'm thinking, right, like, what's the benefits and the disadvantage, you know, if I do get married or just do a live-in, or, like, you know, just live together even if we're not married? Because I mean, like, yeah, maybe she's the one that augments me, but you never know in the future, right? So that's why, like, I'm still considering marriage, because you never know in the future, I guess. And I don't want to be stuck with another person just because of some legal stuff.
My first wife, she was Filipino and Japanese. Beautiful woman. And when we got together, you know, she was thunder and I was lightning, because I always came first. But anyway, it's, I thought that I would be with this woman for the rest of my life. Hell, she mothered my two children. Mm. I had two daughters with her. Mm. And at some point she just decided that, you know, I think it was, I was working a lot of hours, so I wasn't home a lot.
Yeah.
And I guess she started lonely, and then she would ask me to do stuff, and, you know, me being just so exhausted from work sometimes, I'd kept putting stuff off. So trust me, I'm 50, we're 50-50 as far as blame is, but she was the one who cheated, and once she cheated on me, that was it. I packed my things up and I left, and I told her, I said, as soon as I get situated, I'm coming for the kids. And she actually brought the kids up to me, like, maybe, I think it was maybe a year later. I had finally got a really good job. I was working for IBM as a cylinder gas engineer. I was making great money, but I was by myself. But she brought the kids up because she couldn't handle it, she said, or whatever. Because the kids had some issues. My oldest daughter was severely autistic. My youngest daughter was born with, I guess you'd call it anal displacement. You know, as a baby, when she started eating solid food, she literally, like, exploded one morning. Like, shit was everywhere, on the walls, all over the room. And when we took her to the doctor, she had to have an operation. And some of the things that were involved after that operation were just shit that my ex didn't want to deal with. And I had to deal with everything. I had to find a good doctor. And I got lucky because in Vermont, there was a doctor, I believe his name was Dr. Vane. And he was like number two in the United States for this sort of thing. And he hooked me up. I mean, my daughter had some trouble, you know, like getting her body to go to the bathroom. You know, sometimes she would hold it in and then become very, very constipated. And then I would see her walking a kind of weird, and I'd be like, you haven't gone to the bathroom, have you? And then we'd have to take her to the hospital. It only took two times, though. We went to the hospital twice because she was playing games. And then after the second time, I think she got the idea that it would just be better to go to the bathroom, you know? But, I mean, it's, you know, with my ex-wife, again, like, I thought we would be together forever. I mean, I trusted her, you know, the same as much as I trust my wife now. The thing that was different the second time around was it took me a really long time for myself to really accept the fact that, okay, you know, I emphatically trust this person, you know, as much as I did my first wife. I'm in love with this person as much as I was with my first wife. I don't think that she would ever do anything to me, like cheat on me or anything like that. I mean, it's you know, and even when we weren't married, I mean, we used to say, like, look, if you feel that this relationship is not going anywhere or doing anything, or you think you might want to try other people, then just let me know. You know, this was a mutual agreement. I mean, it was like, okay, I never felt that way, and she never did either, so.
That's really interesting, like a transaction, you know. But like not before God, just to evolve.
Right. It's, you just know, people living life.
Like, yeah.
You know, now especially, like, you know, one of the things that happened when we first got together was, you know, there was a point in Vermont where she was looking for work and having a really hard time, and she was living with me at the time because she had to move out of her apartment. Because she wasn't working and didn't have any, you know, no income to sustain. And I was just like, well, just come in and move, you know, come and live with me. So she did.
Yeah.
And I took care of her then. And I'm going to take care of her now that she lost her job. And, you know, we may lose the house and all of this crap. And we just laugh about it. We're like, you know what? If we end up in your car on the road, as long as we got money for gas or whatever. I mean,
do you two have kids?
Yeah, no, actually, we don't. The kids are all grown up. I'm really old. You see the white in my gear? Yeah. That's not like some rock star image thing that I have. It's called nature.
Bro, when I get as old as you, I want to be that energetic and that full of life, you know? I don't want to slow down.
I always try to be that way. You know, but don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. You know, there are times when I'm driving home from work and I'm punching the freaking headrest, you know, in the passenger seat of my car.
Why?
Screaming, you know, and because I have those days. I'm only human. I'm like everybody else.
Everybody has those days, man.
Yeah. Exactly, you know. Yeah. So it's like, but again, it's like, I don't mind, you know, I don't mind those feelings when they come over me. I understand them. And I also realize that, you know, a lot of, you know, a lot of anger and stuff that I used to not know how to deal with. I kind of just feel like, you know, I realize that I'm the one who's doing it to myself. You know, if I can stop being angry, I could stop being upset, especially about stuff in the past. I really don't. That stuff doesn't
matter. It's all chemicals in our brain, you know.
Exactly. I mean, you could treat it like that. But I mean, it's like, you know, look, everybody wants their life to be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one wants their life to be shit, but mm-hmm. You know what, it's like, realize when you realize that, you know, life is the way it is. It's ups and downs and smiles and frowns. I mean, it's, you have to be able to, like, cope with the the bad stuff, or you know, so that you can really appreciate the good stuff.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
Times are going and you're happy and all of that. I mean, sure, that something's going to happen, you know. But how angry do you want to be that, you know, you need a brake job on your car and you're, you know, you don't have a couple of $100 laying around? I mean, you know, this happens to people all the time, but, you know, this is my dog Renegade. And do you have the pee-pees? Oh, boy. But the, you know, it's really how you handle it. But at no point, I mean, for me, because I kind of have, you know, I seem aloof and, you know, or I'm kind of like, you know, I have a high spirit. You know, it's not that stuff doesn't bother me. It's just that I'm able to cope. I'm able to cope because, you know, I have other things to occupy my mind, and I have also the, you know, the intelligence and the means to figure out how to solve problems that, you know, I need to solve in life. And some stuff you have to realize, you know, control the stuff that you can control. As far as that other shit that you can't control, really, you can't control it. So the only thing you're going to be able to do is get more and more angry over it, it will destroy you.
Yeah. Recently, I posted or reshared the post I did 2 years ago, about, and it was about like mean life and it being meaningless, you know, and if I'm okay with it. And I now with all the growth and change that I've had, I realized like, hey, yeah, sure, life doesn't have meaning. I'm a nihilist, like intrinsically, but I'll give it meaning, you know.
I can't say that I'm a nihilist, you know. I'm optimistic. I can't say that you know, and I would have to ask you, like, what level of nihilism are you?
Well, most of the time, like, meaning, right, it comes from like God or some supernatural thing, right? That was my previous frame of mind. So if remove God, you remove meaning from life, from intrinsic meaning from life, and now we're all just naturally evolved apes, you know, like bumping to each other, killing each other, fucking each other. Yeah,
where's the booties?
That's all we are now. But like, yeah, okay, I'll accept that. You know, that's just what it is. You know, I'm good with it. I'm all gonna die and everything's gonna disappear, and whatever I do right now doesn't like have any impact in all of history whatsoever, I'm okay with that, you know.
Well, I mean, look, I've accepted the fact that no one gets out of here alive, whether you believe in a god or whether you don't, or whether you believe in the teapot floating around the planet, you know, Saturn or whatever. It doesn't matter what you believe. No one gets out of here alive. Decided that they're going to use that against you to try to get you to believe what they believe. But again, it's for me, it's like, yeah, sure, you know, you could play this game of life as the winner is the one who leaves the most toys behind. But you know, it's to me, life became much more meaningful when I realized that this is the one time I get to go around. Okay, this is it. This is the one time I get, so I'll make the best of it. You know, but who's to say what happens after you die? Who's to say? I mean, the universe is vast and it is huge, but you know, I don't believe, like, if this is it, if when I'm dead, I'm dead. Okay, fine. You know, no one who's come before me has you know, gotten past that point. If oblivion is what awaits me, then fine. But why would I waste my time at this point, like just sitting there every day and wondering about it and sweating it, like, oh, am I gonna die today? You know, like the only thing I could ask the stars for is don't let me die while I'm driving my car, because I don't want to hurt anybody else on the road. You know what I mean? It's like, let me die. Man, let me die in the house. Maybe when I'm throwing the ball for the dogs, you know. I mean, it's just like, don't let me die on the freeway, man, because that's just bad.
One moment. Yeah, so meaning, right? Like, how do you give life meaning for you?
Well, I give life meaning through what I do and what I like and what I like to do and who I like to be with. And, you know, it's a combination of a lot of things, but the one thing that isn't involved is a deity. I don't consider my life to have meaning because I have a belief in a deity, mm-hmm. or that I get my meaning from a deity. You know, if somebody wants to live their life that way, they're welcome to it. That's not working for me, mainly because I have a lack of belief that there is a deity.
Mm-hmm.
And until proven otherwise, I give my life meaning.
Actually, like, I had this stupid argument when I was, like, a Christian, where I thought, like, if I was truly nihilist, I would just off myself, you know? I was unalive myself, because if there is no purpose here, and I'm just here suffering and struggling for what? For nothing, right? Then why am I staying alive? You know, that I would have no reason to stay alive. Because all the suffering in this world is not worth the risk, or like the worth it, whatever good there could be, you know. But I realized that's just so stupid. That's just so stupid.
You know? I wholeheartedly agree. Jeez, great minds think alike. Look, there was a time in my teenage years where I considered killing myself,
mm-hmm.
just because the problems seemed to outweigh all of the, you know, the bad times outweighed all of the good times. But then it was at that point that I realized that I'm the harbinger of the events of the reality that I live in. Okay. And if I kill myself, then I can't control that anymore. And that's when I said, okay. So all of this stuff that's bothering me, we'll get it sorted. Okay. And then that's when all of the good times started happening. I mean, I had certainly had more good times, and I realized that, you know, hanging with my friends, you know, was much more important to me than hanging with my family.
Interesting.
You know, because my family was kind of tough to be with at the time.
Mm.
Wow, I got the sun coming in through the shades. It's pretty cool. But the you know, again, it's like you know, like I say, it's there was a point where I realized that I give my life meaning and that I am in control of this.
Mm.
And I feel sorry for those who don't have that kind of control, that don't have that kind of understanding.
I want to reread the posts, you know, the comments on the post, and see like how we react to it, you know. I'll read it to you. And then let's react to the comments. Like,
are there people like listening to us right now, and they're asking you questions?
No, not more like. So there, I made a post 2 years ago. So is meaning necessary to be able to live life? And there's so many comments like from before, from a long time. You know, I want to read it and let's see. You know, if we agree or disagree. You know, let's react. You know.
Sure, yeah.
So Laura McGee, she said, it's not necessary, but what's even better, it's up to you to define what that meaning is. Yeah, it's not necessary, right? Like, having meaning in life. You can just live and, be alive. That's it.
Well, I mean, so if you just went along and kind of was like, all right, I'm just going to, you know, live and, you know, maybe kind of like don't react so much to whatever's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You can live life sort of like that, but then at some point you have to take control.
Interesting.
Don't you think?
What do you mean by control? Yeah. Like, oh, this is what my life going to be about. It's like deciding. Is that what you mean by exactly. taking control?
You know, but also like, you know, let's say you're in a toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you've been holding on to this relationship because that's your comfort zone. Now you become comfortable with this person being a total asshole to you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, unfortunately, if you just say, okay, this is my life, and you give into it, then you're absolutely in charge of everything that happens to you in that toxic relationship, as much as the person being toxic to you, because you're accepting that. you can take, that's something you can absolutely take control over and say, you know what, I'm done. I'm done with you and this toxic relationship.
Mm.
You know, that's what I mean by taking control. I mean, and you know, yeah, that, and that works mostly for the bad things. I mean, like I said, there's some stuff that you have control over and there's some stuff that, that you don't. I mean, you know, for example, like my mom, she's going to be 81 this year. Mm-hmm. She's not in the best of health, and I have to accept the fact that, you know, it, her time is very short.
Yeah. So and, Jeremy Brown said, all of life has meaning, every aspect of it. And nobody lives their life like they believe otherwise. Fundamentally, everybody understands that God created us with meaning and that our lives have purpose.
Well, I disagree in the sense where if you're going to presuppose a God to, and that God has given my life meaning, whether I believe in it or not, then, you know, all I can say to you is, hey, great, but I don't believe in a God.
But he sort of makes a good point here when he says that, like all and nobody lives their life like they believe otherwise, meaning like atheist or not, we live life because we find meaning in it, and it's like it's contradictory where you're alive and you're not finding meaning in life. It's like kind of how our brain is already wired, you know, like where
yes,
we
agreed.
Yeah,
the only part of his saying that I have a problem with is that God gave this to you, like in other words, oh, so I didn't earn this at all. It had nothing to do with me. It was already preordained that my life has meaning because of this deity. And that's the part that I disagree with.
Yeah. But what do you think about that? About like, cause here's my struggle with like from being having a God inclusive worldview and a God exclusive worldview is that a lot of the things that I believed in, like meaning, free will, you know, morality, the destiny, all of these, you know, were intertwined, and like God was the foundation. And when God was removed, everything crumbled, and I was like, vacuum. What the hell is life? You know, wait, if there's no God, where do I get my meaning? Right? If there's no God, how do I know what's right or wrong? If there's no God, do I even have free will? Can I even decide my future? Am I like just literally just a robot, like, or atoms banging against each other? You know, all that was like really put me in a depressive state. But right now, I'm settled. You know, the dust has sort of settled.
Good. I mean, haven't you realized yet that when you believe that nothing has given you meaning to your life, it's kind of funny when you finally get rid of nothing, it has no effect on you. I mean, it really, the only thing it did to you is it put you in a mental state for a minute because you were thinking, well, you know, without this, my life's going to have no meaning. Well, yeah. I didn't suddenly become somebody else because I stopped believing, you know. I became somebody else because I took the steps, the journey, you know, I'm still on a journey. I always am open to anyone who wishes to engage me and try to make me believe in this deity. I love it. I mean, I'm always interested in hearing what somebody has to say because you never know, you know, my knees still bend, even though I'm 55, they're a little slow, but you know, again, and I even do my own search, and this would be a great topic to bring up because one of the things atheists like to say is that God is an idea, and because it's an idea, it can manifest in the minds that think it, but it can't manifest in reality. Correct?
Yeah, manifest in mind, like as a thought, as a concept. Yeah,
exactly. So what I tried to do is I was racking my brain, thinking to myself, okay, so if God is an idea, how can I manifest? And I wasn't even, you know, I'm not trying to manifest God in reality. I'm just trying to manifest an idea in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so being a musician, I can say, okay, you know, I can manifest the song that's in my head into reality.
Yeah.
I can also take that, you know, to the, you know, top of the moral argument and say, okay, well, aren't moral arguments, you know, are morals ideas that they start out as ideas like, hey, you know, it's really shitty to kill somebody for no reason. Now, how do you manifest that in reality is you don't go around killing people.
Mm-hmm.
So once I started to realize these connections between ideas, the metaphysical, and then how we project them into reality, mm-hmm. the physical, how can I possibly bring this deity forward enough to say, hey, I have a really good argument here, an argument that I could stand by, an argument that isn't based in presupposition or inferences to ambiguity or faith-based claims, okay? And it's just, so I tried to work that out. I ran it across a couple of pop culture atheists, and they were like, what are you talking about? That's just fucking stupid. You know, but it gave me food for thought for a little bit, but I understand how ideas can manifest in reality. Hmm. The one thing I can't do is take this presupposed being or this creator and create an argument based on the things that I can manifest in reality, that we do as people, that we do as a society, mm. as civilizations, enough to say that, yes, I can now say that the possibility for this being is greater than a lack of a possibility. I still yeah. haven't been able to do that. I haven't met anybody that's had any good arguments. I'm so tired of hearing the same arguments over and over again. Well, you know, like
for you, why is it so important for you to like prove to yourself that God isn't real? Like you know, you're a musician, right? Like you live life.
I don't treat it that way at all. I don't treat it that way at all. I'm not really out to prove myself that God isn't real.
No, but to prove to yourself at least, like that, like okay, yeah. I mean, like here's the thing, right? Most people are agnostic, right? Whether God exists or not, they don't care.
Yeah, I'm absolutely agree. I agree.
Yeah, but how about you, right? Why do you participate in debates, philosophical argumentation about God, you know, when you could just live life ignoring all that, like most people?
Sure, I can live life ignoring all that, but because I accepted the journey.
What journey?
Okay, the journey of, is there a God or is there not?
So you accepted it, and you know what? You just go with
going
it.
Going down those philosophical roads, mm-hmm. Understanding, you know, those things that are the metaphysical and those things that are the physical.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, well, I'm open to that.
Well, like if you really ask me right now, like whether or not, like, whether it matters to me what I believe or not. To be honest, now that I'm nihilist, you know, I actually prefer, like, hey, what if I just stayed Christian? You know, I would have been happier, would have lived in a better, good community. My family would not, like, look at me differently, you know? I would have stayed this super good guy, you know, and lived my life happily, you know? Like, yeah, sure, I'm, like, doing all this fun stuff now that, as an atheist, that I couldn't do as a Christian, you know what I mean? But, like, it really doesn't matter in the end, you know, if God is real or not. It's like, yeah. To be honest, life would have been better for me if I just believed it, because of the context that I'm in, the country that I'm in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. I mean, and where are you from again?
Philippines.
Philippines. Okay, so you're in the Philippines. Yes, I mean, my ex-wife's mother's name was Concepcion. Okay?
Yeah.
I understand it. Filipinos are very Christian.
Very, very.
Probably have other denominations there too, like Muslim.
Yeah. We're Baptist. Most majority Catholic. Baptist. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like my family. They my family get this. I mean, we're like kind of mutts, you know, even with religion. You know, like yeah. My grandfather was he was Jewish.
Yeah.
But he came to the States and he married my grandmother, mm. who was Roman Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, my grandmother was like, well, I'm not going to become Jewish. You have to become Roman Catholic. So my grandfather was like, sure, why not?
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, you know, okay. And that was that. Grandpa went from being a Jew to becoming a Roman Catholic. His whole, the whole Jewish side of his family disowned him.
Really?
And, you know, And he had no fucks to give him. You know, he was with who he wanted. He was happy. You know, and so was my grandmother. She was like, awesome, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Part of me thinks that my grandfather really wasn't all that religious anyway.
Yeah.
Especially the Jewish tradition, whereas some of my family is. So, I mean, I get it, you know? But that was never a question, even with my first wife, you know, whether or not I believed in God and even her mom, who was very religious. I mean, Jesus was everywhere in her house, you know, whether it's in statues or pictures or whatnot. But she never, ever asked me, do I believe in God or if I believe in Jesus? Never asked me.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, you know, for me at this point, like, I allow myself to be involved in debates and stuff as much as I want to. And right now that's very little because I have approached that point where I'm like, you know,
it gets repetitive.
I probably became atheist like 12 years ago now, maybe 14.
Yeah.
You know? So it's kind of like, I've heard all the arguments, you know, but I keep my ear open a little bit. If I hear something that's interesting, I'll be like, ooh, what's that? Check it out.
Yeah.
And get disappointed like I have been for the last 12 years.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I haven't heard a really good argument at all. You know, and the worst arguments to me are the ones that have to deal with the inferences to him.
Mm. Well, to be honest, for me, the difference between I could just stay Christian, could have just stayed Christian and just lived my life like peacefully with no stress about philosophy, religion. Could have just lived a good Christian life, you know, like most people. Which, I mean, like I respect that life. You know, you live a moral life, you have a family, you stay loyal to your parents, you serve the community, serve God, right?
These are good people.
Yeah.
They're
very
good
people.
They're absolutely good
beings. Yeah. I could have been one of them, you know? But, like, now I'm this evil psychopath that, like, thinks, like, everybody's just monkeys and, like, there's no morality, you know? Like,
you're life has no meaning. Everybody else should die along with myself.
Yeah, I'm this evil person, you know, where it's like no morals, no God, everything, just doing whatever he wants happily, you know. I chose this path really because, like, it just seems the more fun to live life this way, you know, to be based. I think
let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
When did truth become important to you?
When I went COVID and I was in my room locked in, you know, and like I couldn't get out, no school, nothing, and I was like, okay, maybe it's time I think about life. And then Facebook, right? I went back to Facebook debates and stuff, like I tried arguing everyone, and then like I actually like tried thinking, hey, what do I really believe, you know? Before high school, I was super, super, super Christian. You know, like, loved God, served God, everything. Like, genuine belief. Like, to the extreme, to be honest. But then, I guess, like, really opening my mind and thinking critically. And then talking to, doing this podcast, that's what really opened my mind, you know. And what was crazy was that, like, every person that I talked to, they believed with their worldviews genuinely. They had perfect conviction in what they believed. But the thing is, from my perspective, like from a bird's eye point of view, everyone has like crazily different beliefs. One was like a mystic, one's the Buddhist, everyone's like doing all this, having all this, but they believe their worldview so much. And I thought, hey, I could be one of them, you know? Well, I might just believe all this, but it's like really something just plain crazy. So that's when I started, like, you know what, I really value the truth. I want to be this person who has integrity, intellectual integrity at least, you know, and not like live just in pure blissful ignorance. Blissful ignorance is a good option though. Yeah, that's why I don't care. I don't like if someone's happily religious, I won't wake them up. Because it's a whole lot of pain, you know, when you, like, bring them into this atheism, you know, like, route. So, like,
just... I don't know when, for me, but I realized at some point that religion is the shoe that fits everyone. and you know, truth and reality and knowledge is the shoe that hurts to put on.
Exactly. You know,
it's, you know, because I was too, like my high school years, shit, I used to pray to God that, you know, the absent note wasn't come home and my mom would find out that I wasn't in school. You know?
Yeah.
But then I realized, you know, of course later on, I laugh about it now, but you know, it's, like I said, I mean, for me, it's not something that I have to have to get me through the day. Mm. I don't need it. I don't need this religious system of punishment. So you're gonna go bad and all that crap and all, you know. And to be honest, I'm kind of like Christopher Hitchens in the sense where I don't want to go to the theme park in the sky where I worship this thing for all eternity. How fucking boring is that? I mean, you know, it's and unfortunately, you know, again, it's like when I say that journey. That's exactly what I mean is when you go down that road, when you start asking the hard questions and you realize that like, whoa, wait a minute, this isn't adding up.
Yeah.
No? And it's just like, you've been told this, you've been taught this, you know, I wouldn't have been Lutheran if it wasn't for my parents.
Yeah.
And
also,
you know, where I was born. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you begin to realize all of this stuff and then you get into the arguments with the, I mean, I can't tell you how many like knock down, drag out, blood and guts and sword, battle axe, screaming and yelling arguments I've had with Muslims, because I mean, those guys would get nuts and I would be, it was crazy. You know, you want my address, you could come and behead me, but if my mom doesn't shoot you first, then the dogs don't eat your arms off.
America!
Yeah, I'll get to you. America!
I'll
tell you what, mm-hmm. we're going to be having that election soon, and there's, oh my God, it's
crazy.
So crazy.
Oh, crazy God. Political vibe everywhere, you know? Trump or the Democratic, you know, puppet?
I was a Democrat for years, and I hate to say it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm what's considered left of center. Which means, you know, I'm perfectly fine with people, you know, living their lives the way they want to, long as it doesn't, you know, destroy society or hurt other people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm totally cool with that. I mean, you know, the problem that I have this time around with the elections is the Democratic National Party really didn't have anybody worth listening to. Or what are they going to do? They're going to reelect Biden again, who's actually chosen Kamala. Where the fuck has she been? You know, Harris. It's just like, we can't have this again, you know. And now people are saying, well, if they win, they must have cheated. Well, it's funny you said the same thing, you know, about that. You know, that's exactly the same thing, you know, that the Democrats said when Donald Trump won. You know, and the funny thing when I think about it is, you know, there's a lot of stuff that Trump is, and then there's a lot of stuff that Trump isn't. Okay? You know, and there's a lot of, like, my favorite one is Trump is a racist. No, he's a capitalist, and he will fuck you over no matter what color your fucking skin is. But some people are much easier to take advantage of. I'll give you that. But again, it's just like, you know, here's Joe Biden who can barely speak. You know, he doesn't really do any interviews because, I mean, the guy's got dementia. We all know it. And here's the best thing. I recently posted on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
I'll read you the blog. I mean, because it really was. It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. And this was a recent happening as well, that the Robert Hur, the special counsel who investigated President Biden's handling of classified documents found in his home and office as his time as vice president when he had all of his faculties, okay, has defended his conclusion. And what was his conclusion? That saying a jury's perception of Biden's memory and mental state would make it difficult to prove his intention to mishandle documents and as a, you know, it, this would be a prerequisite for conviction. So literally, you're telling me that he's in such a mental state that you a jury wouldn't be able to defend him properly, but somehow he is perfectly fine being the president of the United States. The fuck out of here. Okay? And if I have to, yeah. Just remember back in the day when Bernie Sanders was really getting the ground rolling and a lot of people were for Bernie, and what did the DNC do? They stabbed him in the back.
Mm.
Flash forward to 2024. What did they do?
Mm.
You had a halfway decent candidate in Robert F. Kennedy. Okay. And what did you do? You stabbed him in the back. Now he's running as an independent. He'll never even come close to being the primary. Never even come close. So you're stuck with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris again. And, you know, all of those red states. And it's like, here we, what else are we waiting for? We're waiting for all of these lawsuits and everything coming down the pike for Donald Trump just so that they don't have to elect him, just so that he can't be the front runner for the RNC, which is the Republican National Party. So they create all of these cases. And another case that's going down right now was this big one where the district attorney of I believe it's Georgia or Atlanta, excuse me. What's her name? Fannie Willis. Okay, if you heard about this, she's the district attorney that was in charge of delegating the RICO case to Donald Trump. Well, Donald Trump filed a case against her because they found out that the guy who she allotted the RICO case against Donald Trump, she was in bed with. Okay, and you know, it's just crazy. So there was this whole lawsuit that went down where they were trying to get her on that and saying that, you know, she paid this guy to do the RICO case so that she could enjoy some of the kickbacks from the money. But again, it's like the judge found that they weren't going to convict her as far as, you know, breaking the law, I guess, in some way. Now, she could still go in front of an ethics committee and still be convicted that way. But the case against her brought by Donald Trump and his lawyers, the judge ruled against that. So she's not out of the game yet, which means that case against Donald Trump, the RICO case, is still open.
Yeah.
So there's still a chance, even though it's in hell, if there is one, that Donald Trump can be kicked off of the elections through this lawsuit. But again, are you going to wait around to find out? Because really, what's the alternative? There really isn't any. Even for the Republican National Party, you know, it's Donald Trump or nobody else. No one else is going to vote for you. No one else. And I guarantee you, there are some people who probably would still vote for Donald Trump if he ended up in jail, you know, or even if he got kicked off the ticket. It would be, you know, who in the hell knows? I mean, honestly, I'm thinking I might have to stock up on ammo just to, you know, keep the Hanks off me, right? I got a little house. I can defend it really well, man.
Wait, so yeah. are you more like libertarian or?
Yeah, I'm. I would consider myself a you know. Well, I'm not so much a libertarian as I am liberal.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Liberal.
Liberal.
You know, it's. I believe in the individual. I believe into property rights and all of that stuff.
Okay.
You know, when I say I'm left of center, there's a reason why I'm centered, because I do have some hardline conservatism in me, as well as, you know, being able to be like, you know, if gay people want to get married, you know, perfectly fine with that. If, you know, that's the kind of shit that doesn't bother me. I mean, I have family members who are gay. It doesn't bother me one bit. People, you know, I love them just as much as anybody else. But
yeah.
Again, there's, you know, there's this, as much as people talk about the alt-right, you know, the Nazis and the, you know, the fascists and all of that stuff, there's some fucking wackos on the left side too. I don't know what you'd call it, like, you know, woke left or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff going down in that, you know, I definitely cannot get behind. You know, even as a liberal, I mean, I'm just like, you people are just as fucking whack as these guys, you know? And the perfect, right. I'll give you a perfect example. The fact that a school can allow someone's child to not have to tell their parents that they want a sex change operation, or that they're having feelings of being a different gender and all of that. I mean, it's just like the parents obviously being one. I mean, I got lucky. My kids were out of school before all that came down. But even to watch school committees treat these parents with no respect whatsoever, like you don't have a say in your child's life, to the point where they're like, you, that child is not your property. Well, guess what? That child isn't your property either. You know, but it's just like, whoa, man, like that kind of shit irks me, man. It kills me. It's like, no way am I going to vote for somebody who has that view. You know, when it comes to our borders here in America, I want them fucking, I want a flaming wall of death. And the only way you get past the flaming wall of death is when we open the door for you.
Even if it's me, you won't let me cross?
You know? Yeah, and you, don't try to climb the flaming wall of death because you're done.
I'm gotta listening. Wait
for the door for you, Elmo. I'll be there for you, you know.
But it's okay. Actually, I am pro legal immigration too. Of course, that's just better, bro.
I almost actually got a job for Border Patrol. I actually took the test and I paid.
Wow!
But I never took the job because I was married at the time and my wife didn't want to move to Texas. You know.
I see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when it comes to the border, I'm perfectly fine with legal immigration. Mm. Hell, that's how my ex-wife and her family came to America from the Philippines.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they you know, she asked her daughters where they wanted to live, and they said Brooklyn for whatever fucking reason I can't fathom. But that's what happened. And, you know, it was like they came from the Philippines to Brooklyn, and it was, you know, it was great for them. I remember when my ex-mother-in-law finally got, after 10 years, nationalized. And it was like the biggest party we threw. I mean, it was just like, you know, so happy and honored to like legally be considered an American, you know, and, you know, we made that day very special for her, but it was what really made the day special for her was taking that pledge when she went and on that final day and, you know, I can't explain it. I mean, for somebody who comes in here, and I get it, you know, there's a lot of people in this country who've come here. They're hard workers. They're genuine people. You know what I mean? And now they have families. Their kids are going to our schools, you know, and it's even to our colleges. I mean, I don't understand why our government hasn't taken the simple task of grandfathering in people who've been here for 20, 25 years already. You know, stop the bullshit. Don't tell me about how they're not paying taxes. Get grandfather them in and get them in there. You're the ones the government is literally denying itself the income from these so-called people who don't pay taxes, but they pay in other ways. I mean, again, no one wants the criminals. No one wants the murderers or the fucking gangs the problems that we're having now. Now, especially here in New York, which is just a stone's throw away from me. You know, they had these gangs that were riding around on mopeds and they were stealing people's cell phones. Okay. They would steal the cell phone from you. They would take the cell phone to a guy who could crack it. And once they got in your phone, they had access to all your personal information, like your credit card, your bank, and they would get all that money out and they would transfer it. This was a whole big police thing in New York City. If you want to look it up, you'll be shocked and amazed what these guys were doing. But you know, we arrested them. And guess what? All of this defund the police bullshit. You know, now they can't, now they're praying for the fucking police now because it's a shit show in the city. All of the people who had money and the brains got out of there and the city is like, it's a dump. And you look at places like Chicago and Philadelphia and even in over here in New York City, it's like the crap that's happening on the streets. I mean, it's just as bad or if not worse than it was back in when crack first hit the scene. Mm. You know, it's the people on the streets just high as fuck or out of their fucking minds on whatever drug. And then, you know, if they're not killing themselves with the fentanyl laced shit, I mean, it's a horror show. Who wants to live there? You know, what store owner wants to have a store that somebody can just walk into and walk out of there with several hundred dollars of product because, you know, they just felt like doing it. You know, it's just like, it's just crazy. There's a lot of bad shit happening. And that's why people want to elect Donald Trump, because he's already made plans. And you know what? I hate to say it, Elmo, but I'm not against the draconian methods. okay, of controlling these whack jobs. Lock them up. Lock them up and send them back to wherever they came from. Because they don't deserve to be here. They really don't. You know, give me your hard workers. Give me your dedicated people. Give me the people who want to be here, you know, for economic reasons. Let's rearrange the sanctuary, immigration thing to allow people to come here who can't make a living down in like South America because of the cartels and all of this shit controlling everything, you know, or they're so destitute, you know. I mean, it's just like this. We can let those people in, you know, but it can't be, you know, it can't be by the millions. And then it was so funny how all of these sanctuary cities, you started complaining when Texas started just dropping off people in busloads, you know, and it's just like, oh, there's too many people now. We can't afford this. We need more money. But that's, you know, that's very typical of Democratic, the Democratic parties. They think they can fix everything with money. Well, guess where the money is coming from? It's coming from me. People go to work every day. You know, now I literally have 21% of my paycheck taken, and that covers my taxes and my health insurance, which my health insurance is about to go up since my wife doesn't have health insurance anymore. You know, so it's like, and I'm paying, get this, $151 a week just for my medical coverage. Welcome to America.
Crazy.
It is. It's crazy, man. Because like literally in 4 weeks, that's literally another, I could rent an apartment. You know, it's nuts. But it's, you know, again, there's a lot of good things here too. You know, I mean, like the street that I live on, I mean, there's a lot of American flags out here. You know, I live next to a retired police officer. There's a couple of military people up the street here. Like, I consider myself in a good spot. I don't have to worry about, you know, other parts of the neighborhood where there's bad stuff going on because it's connected, you know, to another neighborhood that's shit.
Mm.
And it's there's a lot of parts of New Jersey that are nice. I happen to be in one. Yeah. I didn't intend it that way. I just was looking for a house that I could afford.
Yeah.
You know, and we ended up here. But I mean, you know, our education system needs an overhaul. I forget what the thing was in the news, something about like we have a national education system that's costing us like some ridiculous amount of money, like $8.2 billion a year.
Yeah.
You know, and this was one of the things that Donald Trump said he would get rid of, because what would happen is then the responsibility would go back to the states to take care of their education system. Instead of there being a national education system that doesn't do anything except siphon $8.2 billion off of the, you know, off of the taxpayers. So, I mean, you'll get people who swear up and down that, you know, Trump's going to destroy America. I didn't see America implode when he was president a couple of years ago. You know, somehow America survived. Hell, America's even surviving Joe Biden, you know. And those people who...
Well, what do you think about the Israel and the Hamas war?
As far as I'm concerned, it's the kind of thing where I understand both sides. I understand where Israel's coming from, and I understand where the Palestinians are coming from. You know, and in the sense that the Palestinians, especially, they have no choice. They have no representation. So they settled for terrorists. You know, what did they? It's unfortunate, but this is what happens in third world countries. And Israel is, they just wantonly just decide that they're just going to expand and move settlements out. They even pay, I think they actually pay people to go and make a settlement in an area so that they can eventually claim the area. You get enough farmers or settlers in an area that, you know, we can make that part of Israel. But again, I mean, it's what happened on, what was it, October 8th, is just, it's atrocious. You know, and the worst part of it was because of our level of communication, you know what I mean, by cell phones and stuff, we were able to hear, we were able to see normal everyday people, and I'm talking about Palestinians, glorifying being happy about obliterating other people's lives for the simple fact that, what, they were Jewish? I mean, it's nuts. I get the whole territory thing. I mean, every peace summit that ever happened was a shit show. And, you know, the Palestinians were never really offered anything good. I mean, the two-state solution, never going to happen. Never going to happen. But we're at a point now where it's like, okay, Israel, you've done enough. You've hurt enough people. It's time to chill. But I don't think they want to do that. As long as Benjamin Netanyahu is in power, I think he wants to see the end of the Gaza Strip. He wants to see the end of the Gaza Strip, and he doesn't care where those people go. Let them go to Jordan, let them go to, you know, Lebanon, all anywhere else but there. Because if that's what they're going to do, if every 10 or, you know, 12 years or whenever the last attack was, if they're going to do this kind of thing, it sucks. And the fact that, you know, Hamas was behind it, and, you know, now Hamas gets props in the terrorist world, it's not good for anybody. You're never going to have peace in that region. You know, with it, like, I get the fact that, you know, Israel, especially the Israeli army, the way they treat the Palestinian people, even in the Gaza Strip, you know, blowing up their buildings, shooting, you know, sniper shots and all of that stuff. I mean, yeah, Israel has a lot to account for. And as far as I'm concerned, here in America, Biden should grow some fucking balls and tell Benjamin, you better chill out or we're pulling out. You know? Like, I can support you up to a certain extent, but now you're just being obnoxious. You know, and if you can't come out and say you want the Gaza Strip gone, at least have the balls to say it. So then I can tell you, then we're not part of this. Good luck. But again, it's not going to happen. Money talks and bullshit walks here in this country. You know, it's the same thing with Ukraine. You know, everybody knows the Democratic Party is laundering their fucking money over there. So yeah, it's going to go on forever. You know, to what point, you know, until Russia actually blows the place up so that nobody can use it. I mean, it's just crazy, you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, like, it's war is a very controversial topic, right? Yeah.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, it's really hard to, you know, like I said, it's unfortunate because even before anything happened, you know, I had seen, you know, I wanted to learn more about the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, mm-hmm. how it happened, where did we fail? Because I think it was back in the 70s, you know, I can't remember offhand because, you know, I looked at it a long time ago, but, you know, I came to realize that, well, wait a minute, Israel is not abiding by their own damn rules. You know, in any other sense, you know, maybe even Geneva Conventions, they're breaking rules that they should be respecting. So what you're doing is you're creating this opportunity now for somebody to say, hey, we had enough, we're going to attack you now. In the most heinous, darkest, subhuman way, you know? And like I said, the worst part of that whole thing was the fact that people were in communication with each other, boasting about the killing of innocent lives, raping women, murdering children. I mean, it's just like, you know, so there's a famous podcast with Sam Harris, where he actually plays this phone call from a Palestinian boy who's calling, he's literally calling his parents to boast about, oh, I've killed 10 Jews today. You know, I'm going to kill another, you know, right now. And even his parents are like, they almost don't even know what to say. Like, they can't even believe it. Like, oh my God, it's happening, you know? And it's just like, whoa, this is just really bad. Because I wouldn't have considered that kid a Hamas terrorist. He certainly was that day. But I mean, you know, again, how do you get people?
It's the same thing with, you know, like Nazi Germany, you know, a lot of soldiers just did these things out of like brainwashing, psychosis, you know.
I mean, it's, you know, I get it. You know, I think that, you know, understanding how and why it happened should be enough to prevent it in the future. But again, the Middle East is such a, it's such a...
But we're all monkeys, bro. Like, fight each other.
But unfortunately, that's a perfect, it's a perfect example of why you can't have religion as your foundation of your government, because it creates a problem. And whatever that problem is, if you particularly hate, you know, a certain ethnic group, you know, or religious group, simply because you're different from them and they don't believe what you believe, I mean, you know, great. It's like I said, I get the argument from, you know, Israel became a state, you know, and they fought them. You know, it's funny when I think of how we fought the American Indians here in the States to get land and stuff like that. You don't see the Indians launching bombs and rockets from the teepees, do you? I mean, but they're living like, you know, there's a lot of places where the American Indians are living in that they're not the best conditions. They have every right to be angry. Every right. You know, but what you don't, you see them fighting in their own way, but it's not something that's destroying people or killing innocent lives. You know, in the Middle East, that's a perfectly good option. As a matter of fact, you'll be martyred if you kill yourself while killing a bunch of them. I mean, it's just a whole nasty thing that at this point, I haven't really paid a lot of attention to it, other than the fact that every now and then I like to see what Netanyahu's up to, and see if Biden's thrown any balls yet to get him to stop. But, you know,
Anyway, let's move on to another topic. Last question, like, will you ever visit the Philippines? Because, like, you know, never?
I haven't. The only place, I'm trying to think, the only place that I've been abroad, which is still in the States, is I went to Hawaii.
Interesting.
I mean, I've been to Canada, but really? I went to Hawaii.
Why have you never, like, gone to, like, Asia, Europe, you know, South America?
I've never been there. I would like to, like, my next bucket list location, we were supposed to go to South Africa this year.
Oh, okay.
Because of everything that happened. Well, my wife decided that she's like, hey, I'm going to jump out of an airplane. You want to come with me? And I was like, fuck that. I said, but I will get in a shark cage with you. I'd rather be eaten than fall out of a plane and have my parachute not work, you know? It's just, I have a fear of heights, but I'm perfectly fine with getting eaten by a shark.
All right.
At least I'll be too nutritious to somebody.
Oh, by the way, can you, like, do you have anything to promote? Like, links, you know, music?
The only link I have is my SoundCloud page.
Okay.
And on SoundCloud, you could look me up by name Jason-Hannerfeld. And the last name, my name is spelled Jason, put the dash, and then Hannerfeld. Like, I've done a lot of music since the last time we talked, and I really haven't, you know, I did a whole bunch of songs that were atheistic content, but that's not my whole repertoire of music. I have a lot of, you know, I have love songs, I have metal songs, you know, I'm even working with a couple of rappers from my old neighborhood. Where we're taking rap music and we're, you know, I'm throwing guitar on it and I'm doing vocals and stuff like rock vocals to rap music, and you know, right now we're doing songs for Universal Music Group, so hopefully something will come from that, you know, because they're looking at us, they got a light on us, we think we're liking what you guys are doing, so who knows, man?
All right.
But I could still be a rock star.
I'll actually check out the new music that you've had since the last time we talked, you know. Anyway, Jason, it was awesome talking to you, man. It's like here in the Philippines, it's like 10 p.m. now.
Yeah.
It's like, what time is it there? It's like 10 a.m., right? Yeah. It's crazy, though. I love the internet, man. It's so powerful.
Nice to talk to you again, Elmo. I mean, it's been a really, really long time, so.
You know, nice. I actually love that you really had to get all the Donald Trump politics out, because, like, you really needed that, you know?
I don't want to vote for him, you know, but as an American, the single most fucking incredible thing as an American is the ability to vote.
All right.
But again, the elections have become this, oh, I got to vote for the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
And imagine that you have to honestly come to grips with the fact that Donald Trump is the lesser fucking evil.
Crazy.
It's like, dude, I just want to take a sword and commit Harry, you know, seppuku because it just you can't fucking win. He can only do it for 4 more years. 4 more years, and then his ass is gone forever. No more lawsuits. No more trying to get him on this or that. You could call him whatever you want after that. Yeah. It doesn't matter. He will never be able to be president again.
All right. Well, that's about it, I guess, you know. Thanks so much for listening, and peace.
All right.